Hello, I'm Goldie Sayers, Olympian and former javelin thrower.
And I'm Ollie Hind, Paralympian and former swimmer.
And welcome back to The Insider, the UK Sports Institute podcast. We're continuing with Series 3 of the podcast, which is all about the Paralympics.
In this episode, we'll be talking about mental health in Paralympic sport, the support available to athletes, the pressure of competing at the Games and more.
Joining us to chat about this important topic are Sam Cumming, Head of Mental Health at the UKSI, and Amanda Gatherer, Mental Health Expert Panel Member at UKSI, and Mental Health Lead at Paralympics GB. So let's get started. Firstly, hello, both of you. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, doing well.
So tell me about the mental health challenges para-athletes could face throughout the Paralympic cycle and at the Paralympic Games themselves.
So in our role as a mental health team across UKSI, we work with all kind of Olympic and Paralympic sports. And I guess to some degree, there's consistency in terms of the kind of mental health challenges that athletes across any sport, irrespective of whether they're Olympic or para-athletes, that there's a consistency in terms of vulnerability to a whole range of mental health issues. What we are developing an increasing understanding of now is also some of the additional challenges that para-athletes might experience, not just in life generally, day-to-day, but also some of the things that might impact upon their psychological functioning and well-being in relation to how they acquired their disability, how they've adjusted to managed life, and some of the challenges that their disability might create in life. And also just some of the specialist challenges around actually being involved in sport at an elite level. So for us, it's about making sure that we understand not just what are the similarities, but also what's some of the uniqueness for para-athletes. So a lot of it's the same. It's about managing your training, staying injury-free, peaking your performance at the times when you need to peak your performance. For athletes in the para world, there's also issues around classification, which for some can be quite a moving feast. Changes to classification can affect not only their involvement in the games, but also who their competitors are. So there's lots of challenges there. It varies obviously from athlete to athlete based on the nature of their disability. But there's a huge range of mental health consequences, really, that we know sit around classification. And of course, that's unique to parasport. There's also, for some athletes, there's a whole entourage of supporters and carers that they need that is beyond perhaps what's required specifically for their sport. Some of our sports have got a high level of dependency. So carers, people who have to kind of help them literally day to day, moment by moment, to access a sporting facility and to manage their involvement in the sport. So yeah, there's lots of kind of similarities, but there's also lots of differences that we're very keen to keep educating and raising awareness around.
And have you got anything to add to that, Sam?
Yeah, I think probably Amanda's said about some of the more sport-specific stuff. I guess what is important to hold in mind that when we're talking about working with athletes, we're talking about working with people, and people will have a range of mental health experiences throughout their time. And I suppose when we're talking about para-athletes, we're talking about people with disabilities, and they'll also have their own challenges. So on top of the athletic aspects of what Amanda mentioned, there's the day-to-day issues that might present themselves for people who sometimes are in a world that isn't as well set up for them as it is for other people. So yeah, there's those added challenges on top of the specific athletic ones, which Amanda said we already know a lot about, but also looking to find out more about.
When it comes to mental health, do you see kind of unique trends or differences between Paralympic sport and Olympic sport? I know obviously you raised the point around classification and kind of dealing with disability just in a general day-to-day life. So yeah, would you be able to kind of talk a little bit through that in more detail, please?
I think when we try and help to understand why people are struggling with their mental health, and obviously with a view to offering helpful support, I think what we notice, a whole range of triggers that exist in parasport and for para-athletes that perhaps don't exist in Olympic athletes. So things like anxieties about travel and transport, anxieties around classification, we've already touched on. There's a lot of stuff around kind of identity and how people make sense of their place in the world and how important sport is. So that can become a bit of a bigger trigger around transitions for some athletes. And I'm trying not to generalize, but I guess that to some degree it's inevitable. But yeah, so the transitions are out of sport, as well as I think just making sure that you've got clarity on how am I going to get there? How am I going to get around? How's my accommodation going to meet my needs? Who can I bring with me? you know, there's a lot of added complexity, that all of which will have impact on people's mental health and well-being.
Sam, do you have anything to add to that?
I guess sort of zooming out and looking at the whole system of Paralympic sport, in fact, Olympic and Paralympic sport. So one of the things we did when we first got together as a team at the UK Sports Institute was carry out a prevalence study around mental health, where we looked at different areas of athletes' experience of mental health by looking at psychological distress and well-being, just to give us a snapshot of where everyone was at and to help us identify some of our areas of priority and focus. And there are a few different areas that came out where psychological distress was higher. And one of those was Olympic versus Paralympic athletes, with Paralympic athletes expressing higher levels of psychological distress, but also higher levels of well-being as well. There's something interesting there to find the sort of balance between challenge and support in their world. But that for us was a great signal for us to really be focusing on this area, that there's something unique going on here for where there's high levels of distress experience for Paralympic versus Olympic athletes. There were a series of other areas where that was different too. So it's helped us guide our direction of attention and the work that we've done.
And Ollie, you had a bit of an experience with, or quite a large experience of a changing classification, didn't you? Was there a massive impact for you when that happened?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Back in 2018, I actually experienced this firsthand, and my classification after many, many years changed out of the blue. And honestly, I think a lot of what Amanda was saying about kind of identity and that side of things, that's something that I really struggled with, because, you know, I was, you know, Ollie, the S8 swimmer. And then obviously within a couple of seconds, it's changed like that. And yeah, it can be very isolating, I think, and very, it can feel very lonely in that situation. And yeah, I think it's definitely a challenge that's obviously exclusive to the Paralympic sphere, and is without a doubt one of the most challenging aspects of kind of mental well-being within para sport.
Wow. And I think there is a bit of a stereotype that disability results in mental health concerns. What are your thoughts on that, Amanda? And is there any research being done to sort of counteract that as a topic or add to it perhaps?
Yeah, I think you're quite right to raise it. I think we spend a lot of time trying to avoid colluding with that message. And even the point of classification, for many para athletes, actually, their classification is very straightforward. But there are others for whom it might be quite complex, and where the parameters and the goalposts can change and be changed, as Ollie has just outlined. So yeah, we're trying not to kind of overgeneralize here. However, what we want to be clear is that para athletes have good pathways to be able to access support around their mental health, and that access is with somebody who understands maybe some of the uniqueness of their situation, so that we're not just applying a kind of one-size-fits-all mental health pathway approach. We're actually recognizing, yeah, you're not only being an elite athlete and all the stresses and strains that creates, you've also got some of these additional challenges that we need to understand and help you consider. How much is that playing a part in what I'm struggling with at the moment? So we try to put the devil in the detail a bit, really, around the support we offer, to make sure that it is in that context that we understand the uniqueness. I had an athlete who attended her first games and, you know, had not been experiencing any real significant kind of mental health struggles up until that point, was really excited about her first games, walked into the Paralympic environment where actually as a relatively well-functioning, able-bodied para athlete, she was completely overwhelmed by the range of disability that was on show in the dining hall. She just was totally taken aback by it and overwhelmed by a sense of, what am I doing here? How do I feel I fit into this? And that kind of thing you can't really predict, but we now know, actually, based on that experience, we need to help athletes understand what it's going to be like in their first games environment, because there's such a range of disabilities on display, such a collection of different levels of functioning and different levels of need. But I think it's really important that we help athletes understand that's the kind of environment that I'm going into. And the Paralympics, being a multi-sport environment, is quite unique in that respect. Actually, most athletes spend most of their time in working within their own sport. So suddenly you're exposed to a very broad range of different levels of need, different stories, different histories, different levels of trauma that sit behind people's stories. So yeah, it's about really taking the devil to the detail and actually making sure we understand each individual story. and how that impacts, what are the factors that impact on their mental well-being and their mental health.
And what sort of research is being done, Sam, at the moment?
We've partnered up with Loughborough University and the British Paralympic Association to better understand some of these factors that have an influence on a para-athlete's mental health, and specifically focused on para-athletes. So we are partway through a PhD with Loughborough Uni. And the first part of that was really gaining a perspective from the support staff that sit around the athletes to get their perspective on what's unique for a Paralympic athlete relating to mental health. And the idea of that initial bit of research was to then really focus some questionnaires that we're applying to para-athletes at the moment as we speak to understand what their experience is. So we try and have a bit of a blended approach to understanding the para-athlete's experience. But what's been fantastic and really interesting about the findings from that first study, they've been looking at what's influencing a para-athlete's mental health from an individual level right the way up to a sort of macro whole system approach. So what's happening outside of sport? How is the world outside sport set up, and how does that have an influence on your mental health? So then how is the system that you operate in set up, and how does that have an impact? Then what are the things you can do as an individual? So that for me was a fascinating start to look at. Actually, it's not just about individuals being able to cope with this stuff better or systems having to put things in place to make things easier. It's the whole range of action and understanding that's needed.
Sam, we spoke with you in series one about the topic of mental health. How has the UKSI support developed since then?
Yeah, in some ways it feels like a while ago. In some ways it doesn't feel like that long ago at all. But yeah, There's been huge change across the whole system in mental health. Thinking beyond just the work we do with para-athletes, there's been a real shift in perspectives around mental health. A really obvious way that showed itself up for me this year was we ran our first internal conference on mental health, where we invited folks from all across different sports that work with athletes that we support to have a day sharing information and knowledge around mental health. We had a huge uptake on that day. I think we ended up with about 120 people in a room that we originally thought could have about sort of 30 or 50 people in. So we had to shift things around a lot. So that really, for me, showed how much the shift has been in the system around people not just sort of looking after mental health, supporting mental health, a tick box thing you probably should have to do, but actually really seeing the benefits of setting up an environment where if we support athletes' mental health and provide them with a foundation to really deliver their performances, it has a really positive impact, not just about enhancing performance, but also about helping people sort of be at their best to deliver those performances. And the big shifts, I think, have been more connections with the team. So Amanda, in her mental health expert panel role, and her two colleagues were doing a lot of work direct with sports towards the start of our team being put together. We've grown as a team now. We've got mental health leads who have a portfolio of sports that they work with, who then connect our team to the individual sports on the ground, provide that advice and guidance, and then can bring Amanda and her colleagues in to give input and guidance on specific cases that come up and provide that support. So we've got a really broad range of practitioners working the team now, and also a great level of support and engagement for the sports we work with. I think it feels like we're part of the furniture now, which is nice. So we feel like people know who to come to and how to get connections with us. And what also helps is folks like Amanda having multiple roles. And one of the roles that Amanda has is with the Paralympics GB team that will be out in Paris this year. So that's great having those links and connections across the organisations too.
Looking at obviously the Paralympic Games coming up in the summer, obviously it's one of the biggest sporting events in the world. What do you feel is the best way of supporting someone who is going to perform in a high pressured environment?
Athletes are performing all the time and they know what they need to perform well and keep themselves well. We talk a lot about self-care in our team and what do you need to keep yourself well, look after yourself, to give you the space, the headspace to relax and recover or go and deliver the performances you need to. And whilst it's easy to say, it's a straightforward thing to do in practice, as we've said, there's things that are unique about the games experience, particularly the Paralympic Games. So there's things to consider, like the example Amanda gave of what's it going to be like being in a multi-sport environment, mixing with different athletes that you might not have seen before or had time with before. So there's specific considerations to think about: what do I need to keep myself well? And thinking about what the games will be like, what do I need to keep myself well at the games? And so keeping yourself informed about what's it going to look like? What support's going to be available to me while I'm there? What am I going to be doing day to day? And in the system over here in GB, we're really set up to know so well. We're so well prepared and so prepped that we can really know what we're going into in a situation. And then on specifically on the support that's available, and the environment that's created, Amanda's in a better place than me to talk about that. But there's been so much thought, care and attention put into how's this environment going to be set up to be accessible, to be inclusive of a range of different needs, and also what people require to keep themselves well at those sorts of environments.
So when do you feel like an athlete should reach out for support, and what support is available for the Paralympic sports and through the UKSI?
Paralympic athletes are surrounded by a range of different support from their coach they work with to their performance lifestyle practitioner, their sports psychologist, doctor, S&C, physio. There's a load of different practitioners, and our key message to anyone experiencing any problems is speak to someone, a fellow athlete, a teammate, someone in your sport who you trust and are happy to speak to. You don't need to go and see a doctor just because you're feeling sad about something. You don't need to wait to the point where you need to actually seek help and get a referral. It's worth being proactive and seeking some of those people out that who can support you, and that could be outside of sport as well. But the systems are in place now within the sports to be able to have a conversation with someone. And if it needs to be escalated and handed on to someone else, then we're pretty confident that those pathways are in place, that will happen. At the games, there's, I guess, a more specific level of support available that people can access. If they're at the games and need some support right there, then within the Paralympics is going to be a great setup with Amanda and her colleagues available on site to have a conversation. But absolutely, the key message for me would be proactive about it. Seek support early. Don't wait until things go bang to go and seek the support, as tempting as it can feel to do that.
Yeah, 100%. I would echo what you said there, Sam, about being proactive. My experience anyway, being involved in the program, and I think that proactive nature and kind of not looking at mental well-being and mental health is just, like you say, a tick box exercise. I think generally, I don't know if you would agree, but I think the uptake from the different sports and the athletes, they're more willing to kind of engage in that support as well. Which of course is part of the battle, but yeah, really, really, really interesting. Like I say, resonates quite a lot with my experience as well.
Well, that's really good to hear, and you make a really good point as well about what athletes are expecting to be able to be supported with this stuff. I think sometimes those of us who've seen a massive shift in the way mental health has been talked at, even in the last 5 to 10 years, need a shift in perspective, and actually people will be willing to ask for help and support. And when people are coming to you and asking for that support, it's really important that you're able to hear that, validate how they're feeling and know what to do with it. So yeah, it's a really good point that the people we work with are actually keen to and open to talking about how they feel. And it's really important that we're ready to support them when we need to.
I think that support, not just at the Paralympic Games, but after coming out of sport, and I know that Amanda touched on kind of transition out of sport, is very much kind of a touch point for mental health issues and things. And I think I probably have used the UKSI services more since I've finished competing than I was when I was actually competing. So I think, again, it's important that the athletes know that that support is there and available.
We'd have to shout out the Athlete Futures team in the Performance Lifestyle Department, who provide support for sort of 2 years post-transition out of sport, which is a really important offer because, exactly as you say, Ollie, the time when you need support might be further down the line beyond that sort of typical window immediately post coming off a programme or immediately post the games.
And Amanda, you've got the, I don't know if it's an unenviable role in Paris this summer, but you are mental health lead for Paralympics GB. What does that look like on the ground? Because obviously you're going into quite an anxiety-ridden environment from my experience going to a Games. You know, what will that look like for you day to day at the Games this summer?
Well, I would bring it back a few weeks because we're already starting to connect with sports and athletes who might anticipate that they might struggle. Now, obviously, not all struggles might be anticipated ones, given the example I've used previously. But yeah, we're trying to already start connecting with athletes who've perhaps got some pre-existing concerns around their mental health, maybe receiving treatment for that, maybe not, just to make sure that we can start to plan with them what does support need to look like, and we can be quite proactive around that. So it's a piece of work already happening, liaising very closely with the mental health leads for the UKSI team, which is, as Sam was saying, really helpful to have those connections. So yeah, we do as much planning as we can for those athletes where they might know already, actually, there's certain things I know that will be triggering for me. and all the kind of stuff around being away from home, not being surrounded by my normal support mechanisms, being in a heightened environment in terms of anxiety and stress around performance, etc. So we do what we can there, making sure sports support teams are well prepared as well, especially those teams who aren't going to be based in the Paris Paralympic Village. We've got a couple of teams whose events are elsewhere, just as they have for the Olympics. So making sure that we can be clear what kind of support and what kind of educational needs do those teams have, that we can perhaps try and upskill people to provide the best support they can should people start to struggle. And also, how can we get to them and in what time frame? So there's a lot of work going on now. There's also a lot of work in terms of just pulling together some of the resources that we feel might be supportive of athletes in Paris. So Games Time Journal is something that was tested out in Tokyo. It's very much around well-being, and some athletes have helped develop that. The athlete health team are also looking at, you know, how do we make sure friends and family are well coordinated and well supported. All the kinds of things that will potentially help athletes manage their anxiety and perform at their best. In the actual Paris environment, we've been very lucky that Paralympics GB have been so proactive in this space. So we have three mental health practitioners who will be working as part of the Paralympics GB delegation. Two of us will be in Paris. I'll be based in the Paralympic Village, and my colleague Sue Wood will be based over in Paralympics GB House, both able to provide support to staff or athletes as and when it's needed, being very accessible, being very visible. And as I say, with some athletes, maybe helping to deliver plans that we've already prepared with them in advance, but I'm able to react and respond and support as needed. Back in the UK, we've got another colleague, another clinical psychologist called Oliver Sindel, who'll be based with the UK Hub. And that's obviously staff focused. But should we have athletes who need to return to the UK or are returning perhaps with any concerns around their mental health, Oliver will be very well placed to just make sure that we pick up those concerns, even if it's still during the games, and make sure they get access to the right kind of support once they get back home. So you've got the three of us as a mini mental health team. Hopefully, we've positioned ourselves in the most useful places, and we're really there just to support as is required. Some of that will be reacting to stuff that emerges in situ, and some of it, as I say, will be pre-planned and prepared where we've already built a relationship with an athlete. We are also there to support staff, and we recognise that if staff are doing okay and coping well, then they're much better placed to do the job they're there to do, which is to enable the athletes to perform at their best. So the Paralympics GB offer is very good, and it encompasses staff. Let's do everything we can to keep staff functioning well and dealing with anything that they might be struggling with, because the athletes will benefit from that.
Because sometimes it's the athletes who are in control of the performance, and it's all the staff and coaches who absolutely aren't. So I think mentally, yes, it's probably tougher for them in many ways. But you mentioned some of the education support pre-games that you've perhaps given to sports and athletes. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Amanda?
Yeah, there's a number of pieces that have been delivered mostly through the UKSI mental health team. So mental health awareness into sports to make sure that there's a shared language, there's a shared understanding around things like, how do you make sense of stress? How do you measure stress? How do you manage stress? Really just trying to shift the culture a little bit. As we were saying earlier, actually, we want people to be able to seek help proactively. We want people to be able to put their hand up and say, I think I'm starting to struggle. But sometimes that can be really hard if you're not quite sure what reaction you'll get. And athletes will often have concerns. Will this impact on my selection or how I'm viewed? So the things like the mental health awareness training that we deliver into all sports is really important to try and start shifting some of the stigma around mental health. Then you've got more bespoke things. So training up staff and athletes who might want to be mental health champions. So that's giving them a bit of an enhanced skill set around, how do you have a conversation with somebody who's in distress? How do you support somebody who perhaps is expressing concerns about their safety whilst you seek further help from a more specialist source? How do you actually just sort of maintain, offer that sort of mental health first aid in the environment?
You're also part of the UKSI's mental health expert panel, as you've mentioned. What work has been done to support athletes, particularly for Paralympians, ahead of Paris 2024, beyond what you've already mentioned?
So it picks up a little bit on what Sam has said about the progress we've made in the UKSI in growing the mental health team and support that's available. So the mental health expert panels sit within the mental health team. So we've got three of us that sit on a mental health expert panel. Then you've got our two mental health leads. We've got Sam as our kind of conductor in chief. And then we've got a mental health support and resources and training coordinator. So mental health officer role. So we're quite a large team now. And because the mental health leads have this portfolio of sports, they're regularly having conversations in sports, in wellbeing forums or with sports support teams about, have you got any concerns? Who are the athletes that might be beginning to struggle? Where can we be as proactive as possible in trying to help people as early as possible? All athletes within the world-class program have access to athlete medical scheme insurance. So we're building a network of practitioners, psychological, psychiatric, psychotherapeutic practitioners who we can get to know and build trust with, and actually who we can start to refer athletes to. So we're a little bit more organized around the support that's available externally that people can access through their medical scheme. And that network has been a huge piece of work. And it's now we're aiming to get up to 100 practitioners who are sitting on that network, offering them CPD, helping them to understand the system around elite sport, helping them to understand some of the specific elements of working with a para athlete, for example. Neurodiversity is another area that we've done a lot of work in with Neurodiverse Sport, an organization set up by Cara McMurtry, an Olympic rower. And we feel that the whole context of neurodiversity is something that we've needed to put some education around. And often there's a connection between mental health struggles and actually people presenting with neurodiverse traits that just don't fit that well with an elite sporting environment that they're trying to work within. So going in, doing some education with sports, helping them to understand neurodiversity better, helping athletes to be a bit more understanding of what those struggles are and what those preferences look like. How do I communicate best? What do I need from the sport to enable them to get the best out of me? And so on. They're all important features of just trying to manage mental health better and taking a more positive approach, a more proactive approach. So there's quite a few bits and bobs that are happening, I think, that will all impact ultimately, not just on para athletes, but including para athletes, helping sports understand, making sure the selection policies are as clear and as supportive and as inclusive as they can be, so that we're trying to shift away from these concerns around mental health and stigma. You know, if I talk about my mental health, will it affect my selection? You don't have to go back very far for that to have been a very commonly encountered challenge and concern. Hopefully, the support we give to sports as a mental health team helps them to develop policies in a way that's inclusive, to develop staff knowledge and skills in a way that enables those staff to be supportive and compassionate and really get the best out of athletes and create the best environment for athletes to thrive.
Okay, so I've got one final question for both of you, and it's quite a big one. So we'll go to Sam first. What do the Paralympics mean to you?
Well, that is a big one. It's a fantastic opportunity to see the very, very best in the world competing against the very, very best in the world. And that's always a spectacle to admire, to be inspired by. So yeah, that's it for me. It's the pinnacle of sporting performance, and it's exciting that it comes round once every 4 years for the summer ones and not far away for the winter ones too.
Awesome. Love that. What about you, Amanda?
I was very lucky to be in the Tokyo Paralympic Village and able to attend some of the venues and some of the events. And I think I probably would have felt as in awe if I'd been sat in the Olympic Village as I did in the Paralympic Village. But for the reasons that Sam has said, that you just know you're surrounded by, these are the world's best. These are people who are competing and have trained to compete at the very highest level. And in any context, that is something that I have to manage my own inordinate around. I guess for me, the bit I would add is the opportunity to understand people's stories and understand some of the additional, challenges that people have had to overcome, not just in life, but to be at their best in a Paralympic environment. That is inspiring. And that is a privilege to be in my role and able to actually sit down and legitimately ask people, well, what's your journey been? How have you got here? And what have you learned about yourself? How have you grown through that process? So to me, it's the individual stories and I carry those stories with me because I'm lucky enough to have this role and be in a position to ask those kind of questions. So yeah, it's the individual stories for me that absolutely stand out.
100%. I'm really glad you said that, Amanda, because I 100% agree with that. I think, you know, the Paralympics, there's so many great stories and everyone's story is so individual. It's so different as well.
I mean, it's just amazing the amount of change in the mental health space and the fact that you're, you know, doing so much work and the stigma is reducing, and it's brilliant because ultimately, you know, sports performance is probably 70% mental, especially at a game. So it's really exciting to hear what's happening.
Well, massive thank you to Sam and Amanda for talking to us today. Really, really enjoyed that. I think our listeners will find a lot of value from that conversation as well. Yeah, so thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having us. Really, really good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, if you want to learn more about the UK Sports Institute or Paralympics GB, follow them on socials via UK Sports Inst or at Paralympics GB. Follow the podcast so you don't miss an episode, leave a review, or if you're listening on Spotify, share your thoughts in the poll. Or you can always chat more to us on social media.
Until next time, thanks for listening and we'll catch up soon.